Welcome to the Talking Legal Ed podcast with Professors Linda Jellum and Billy Joe Kaufman. In each episode, we explore cutting-edge legal issues with renowned legal scholars and teachers. In these explorations, we discuss the legal doctrines implicated in the issues we tackle. But perhaps more importantly, we look at how legal educators can bring these issues alive in the classroom.
Hey, Billy Joe, it's good to see you this afternoon. I'm so excited to talk to Leandra Letterman about her YouTube channel, Break Into Tax. I have been using that a bit in my classes and recommending them to my students. So I'm here really anxious to hear about how she got started and how she uses them and what she plans with them for the future.
I think this is going to be a great conversation because, as you well know, I think administrative law and tax should be required of all law students. So I'm excited that somebody is taking it a step further than just the statutes and the code.
Well, let's see if she agrees with you. So Leandra, it is so great to have you on Break Into Tax. You've been such a terrific mentor for me as I've come into this particular area of teaching tax, which can be really challenging. So it's really fun to have you here today. Why don't you briefly introduce yourself, where you're at, your YouTube channel, Break Into Tax that you have, and we'll go from there.
Thanks, Linda. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me today. So I'm Leandra Letterman. I'm the William W. Oliver Professor of Tax Law at Indiana University Maurer School of Law, and I am hosting what we're calling Season 2 of Break Into Tax. Allison Christians and I started it together. We launched in February 2021, and starting in September, I started running it alone, and that's when we transitioned it to Season 2.
Leandra, why did you go from the solo into these guest host formats?
So Allison and I started the channel together, and we were just making all of the videos together and co-hosting. We did that for about 6 months, and she got even more busy than she already was with administrative responsibilities and teaching classes in French for the first time because she's at Montreal, which is a bilingual law school. And she said she didn't have time for a while anyway to continue doing it on a regular basis, but she could just, you know, pop up for some cameo appearances. And so we decided to transition into Season 2 with me running it. And so far, what I've done is just always invite at least one other person to participate in the video so that it's not just me lecturing. So that's why I moved to sort of a guest co-host format, to just inviting whoever seemed like a good fit for a particular topic, or if someone suggested an idea that I thought would work for Break Into Tax, working with that person on it.
So let's back up for a second and talk about the three playlists that you have. Talk a little bit about your different audiences for each of those playlists.
So basically, every time we release a video, then I put it on a playlist or multiple playlists, whatever it seems to fit. So a big one that the channel has is income tax. So videos for the basic federal income tax course. But then there's also, over time, we've made tax humor videos, we've made tax careers videos, we made some right at the beginning that are focused on tax policy colloquia, so there's a playlist for that. Over time, several we made, and I made some videos that really aren't focused on tax law, but that are focused more on academia generally. So I recently created a playlist that's non-tax videos. Basically, they're just, I would think of it as just groupings so people can kind of find their space and maybe watch the videos that are related to their particular interest.
Well, you had the one recently that I watched that was about, you were talking to the chief of the law review at your school. I think Jonathan Choi was on it as well. And basically just reaching out with advice and recommendations. And I listened to that and I took those recommendations I ended up, I think the next day, going ahead and submitting my article to Stanford. It made it to full review. Unfortunately, it was then declined. I was ready to cry at that point, but still, it got me that far. And then I just had it picked up by Texas. So I would recommend all of the audience that listens to us today to definitely listen to that podcast, along with the others that you have on there about various methods of teaching. I mean, so thank you. And if you'll let your student know how much I appreciated her help in making my article that much more interesting to students, that'd be great. So
I will, but first let me just say congratulations. It's a terrific placement. Mm-hmm. Well done. And that's great that you think that video was helpful.
I think it was. Let's talk a little bit about the tax ones that you have and how you use them in teaching.
So I started working on these videos in large part because of the pandemic and because of the transition to online teaching. And so what I've sort of come up with over time is the idea that you can use these videos as so-called readings, like in lieu of a reading, as a recommended resource. So kind of suggested reading, or for review. So maybe you don't assign it during the semester, but you give it as a review assignment or optional review materials. And then we also discussed, Linda, that you actually show some of the videos in class. So I would call that like real time. So we have reading, resource, review, and real time, the four R's of the way that you can use these videos. And for me, what I've done is I've basically done them as the first three. Some of them are required preparation as part of a particular unit. Some of them are recommended as part of a unit. And then some of them I will give for review. And sometimes that's just that I made the video later in the semester, so I didn't have it when we covered that material. But sometimes I might think, well, this one, like for example, the basics of basis, when we're going through, maybe this is too specific, I don't know, but you know, there are topics that you cover at different points in the course, like different basis and different contexts, but then you can pull it all together and understand basis more holistically, and that might be better for review. Or I think actually that's the one, initial basis and an asset. Sorry, let me go ahead back and correct that. Okay, so sometimes there are videos that pull some concepts together that might be covered at different points in the course. So I think that they're particularly good for review. Like there's a video that Allison and I made on initial basis and an asset, and you would generally cover basis in purchase property, basis in a gift, basis in a like-kind exchange at different times. But then the video kind of pulls all of that together and goes through the various contexts. So I think that could be particularly good for review.
One question I have, because I teach tax legal research as a part of my advanced legal research class, and I've always considered myself incredibly lucky because I had Gail Richmond, the author of Tax Legal Research, as my tax instructor. But I try to communicate to students the importance of taking tax, even for self-preservation. Like, it may not be on the bar, it may not be their lifelong career, but that there's just courses like administrative law and tax that you really just should have, because even a family lawyer in, I don't know, Seymour, Indiana, may have a tax issue. So are you able in these videos to impart that importance of tax as a subject within your, it sounds like marketing a little bit to me, but I just think all students should take it, but I'm not the leader of the free world here. So do the videos help students see that?
I think so. And I agree with you that tax is one of those courses that everybody should have some exposure to for any practice area. We did make, Allison and I made two videos on why take tax with guest stars. So what we did is we got clips from a whole bunch of mostly tax professors, a few other professors as well. I think one person who's actually neither a lawyer nor a professor, and we put them together in categories. So it's the Letterman and Christian's top 10 reasons to take tax. And then we have the serious ones, and then we have the serious one, the video with serious reasons, and then we have a wrong answers only video. So we have a humor one. And, you know, it's actually something like people could put a link to the video in their course description. Like, you know, hey, here's a pitch for why you want to take this class. I should also say, though, on a separate point, a couple of the more recent videos I made with Ashley Albrand, who's a librarian at Maurer, who was teaching a tax research course for the first time. And it's an online course, and it's asynchronous. And she talked to me about topics, and I ended up making 3 videos with her, one of them on legal research generally. So that's actually a non-tax video, one on tax research, and one on sources of tax authority. So talking about, you know, what are these different documents and stuff. And then I guess as an aside, Gail Richmond actually reviewed the draft of the videos for us, which was really nice.
Well, what sounds exciting about this is you have this YouTube channel, but because of the number of videos and varieties and the fact that they can be used in multiple different ways, it gets a bigger audience than you might have originally anticipated. Is that correct? Or
the subscriber base is growing, and I'd love it to grow more. I think that, you know, the word is getting out, but it's always great when a professor discovers it and shares some videos with their students, or maybe students share videos with each other. So I feel like it takes a while for a channel to get really visible. But it's gratifying to see it grow and to see, you know, more watch hours accumulating, but it's not as big as I'd like it to be.
I think we can say the same.
Yeah.
There's 4 of us involved in Talking Legal Ed. We have a producer, David Ritchie. We have editor that does all the editing for us, Tim. We have Billy Joe and I who do the questions and some of the pre-leg work. And even with that, it's a tremendous amount of work. And yet you're sort of doing quite a bit of this now all by yourself. It's got to be a bit overwhelming. So if I'm a new law professor, you're going to recommend that I go get a YouTube channel or start doing something like that?
For someone who's a new law professor, I mean, if it's your passion, you know, go for it. But otherwise, I would say it's hard to find the time for this kind of thing when you're preparing courses for the first time and you're writing some of your early articles and you're on a tenure clock. So I'm not sure I would recommend it. I have found it really fun, but I learned how to edit videos as part of this process, and it's creative, and that's nice. But I mean, it is amazing how long it takes to edit a video.
Do you get support from law school administration? Are they appreciative of this work? Like they might be of some scholarly article, or are they saying, what is breaking a tax?
Maurer has a strong social media presence, and our dean is really active on Twitter. And I think he is great about retweeting the tweets from the Break Into Tax account that I run that, you know, talk about our new video. And our communications people have been really great about putting when I run an Instagram story with, I usually make a 15 second clip to run on Instagram, and they've been great about running those, especially, you know, if I tag malware, then it's easy for them to find that. So I would say they're really great about just kind of helping get the word out. I haven't asked for any support for it financially or anything else. And I haven't asked whether this sort of counts for something. I frankly, like, I don't know. Let me put it this way. In our like annual reports about sort of what we've gotten done for the year, you know, I mentioned break into tax, and I recently said, I'm not sure if this falls in the category of teaching, scholarship, or service, or some of all three. Because actually, one playlist that I didn't mention that we have that Allison and I started is Tax Papers Unlocked, where we feature like what I call a micro workshop, where someone gives an elevator pitch of their paper. And then, you know, we ask a workshop question or two or three. And so when maybe we have a 5 or 6 minute video where we've got the elevator pitch and then, a couple of follow-up questions. And so I feel like that part is scholarship related. There's career stuff. I feel like some of this is service to the profession, service to students. And then some of it really feels like teaching, and I'm using it in my classes. So, you know, I don't know how an untenured person would or could get credit for it, but at my stage of my career, like, I'm not concerned about that since I'm already tenured, et cetera.
Yes, makes perfect sense.
Well, and maybe one recommendation is certainly not when you're new, and maybe when you're further along, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate having my colleagues help with it, because I find even without the video, not that I do the editing, but it is quite a bit more work than you anticipate it to be. I want to move into the discussion about teaching difficult courses, right? So Billie Jo mentioned earlier that she thinks both tax and admin are critical, and you know, they're both in my course package, so I agree with that. I would anyway, but I do find that students are often afraid to take tax. Number one, they're afraid it's all about numbers. And then there's also some challenges, particularly in your first years when you're teaching tax, of maybe making math or other types of errors. And you know, that's true in other things, all courses, we sometimes make errors. But I do find that sometimes with tax, with the math, sometimes I can, you know, transpose the numbers, or I just add wrong. Or what advice do you have for professors who get up in front of the classroom and have those errors that they're sort of working through?
Well, I mean, everybody's human, so we're all going to make mistakes. And I think that it's important to be straightforward about it and honest about it. I always tell the students that if they catch where I wrote the wrong number on the board or something like that, please tell me, flag it right away, because I don't want a student who's kind of lost to think that they misunderstand the law because I was talking and I wrote down a 3 instead of an 8 or something. And they think that, gosh, there must be some principle that they're missing that made you subtract 5, you know? So I really want to make sure that that's correct. I would say, you know, I think there's pretty standard advice to new professors, et cetera, that if you make a mistake, you know, kind of admit it, correct it, and move on. Or if you don't know the answer to a question, tell the students that you'll, you know, it's a really good question and you'll have to think about it, or you'll have to look it up and get back to them. And, you know, I'm sure that when that, you know, as that happens, especially in early years of teaching or the first time through a course, that might prompt you to over prepare for the next few classes and try not to have that happen multiple days in a row. But, you know, as I said, we're all human, and it's really, I think, just a matter of not trying to, I think it's just a matter of, you know, correcting it and moving on.
You know, my first year when I taught tax, I happened to have a former math teacher in the class who had gone back to law school. And God bless him, he would very gently correct any math errors as we went through. And I learned to just really rely and appreciate on that. In fact, I took his grade up for all the help he had given me in that way. And subsequently, I found I almost always have someone who's been a former accountant. Now, I tend to make fewer errors at this point because I've taught it enough times. But, you know, that's not to say, given how often the tax code changes, that there isn't something that happens as I'm redoing the problem. But I actually have gone to the point of sort of assigning, if I find out someone's the accountant, that that's your job, is to make sure I'm doing the math. And my favorite is, I think this year, this last fall, I caught the accountant was trying to correct me on a math error. And I said, I caught him that he was wrong. So I think we get to do better, but I find that is a helpful thing. But I will say I found it, you know, when I taught future interest in property, sometimes I ran into some issues there. And so I think it is not just in tax, but some of us who are a little math challenged may find it to be more true in tax and in other areas. Okay. So finally, as we're wrapping this up, where can our listeners find the Break Into Tax YouTube videos? Should they want to give one of them a look?
Well, you can search on YouTube for Break Into Tax, but it's also really easy. We have the URL breakintotax.com, just spelled just like it sounds, BREAKINTOTAX. So that's probably the easiest way to get to it.
Sounds like a bumper sticker would be great.
Yeah, that would be fun. We could put them on our cars. Well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to have you. One question that we often end with is, what for you to sum up, what do you think the sort of importance of what you're doing that you would want to be sure to convey to our audience?
I really think of Break Into Tax as breaking down barriers and providing access, helping sort of increase access to resources about tax careers, about tax topics, and about topics related to law school generally. Like, there's one video that's on legal writing. There's a video on how do you ask a good question in a colloquium. I think if there's one thing that people get from these videos, I hope it's that it provided a free and straightforward resource that helped them learn something or access something that they were less familiar with before. And as another example, one of the videos is Break Into Academia that talks about how people become a law professor. Jeremy Bearfriend at GW and I did that video together and talked about our experiences and the, you know, the job market for academics, et cetera. And it's the kind of information that I wish I had had when I was on the market.
You know, Linda, I think the other great thing is with a video, there are just people that have to see it. You know, it's great to read it, it's great to hear it, but your time and effort on doing videos is really courageous. And I know it's incredibly time consuming, but some learners, many of us just need that video. So bravo for you doing that.
Yeah, here. And there's some great little pictures she has, and a picture of a boot and some people giving property. They're great to see, and they really are helpful when they're included. Well, Billy Joe, I was really excited to hear about how broad Break Into Tax really is.
That was absolutely amazing, because to have the videos both for breaking into the academy, how to write law review articles and how to get them published, beyond just the terrific videos for tax. Really, really a great conversation.
Well, I'm sure our listeners are going to want to take a look for themselves. And so we will have a link to the YouTube channel in our show notes below. So please click on that link and support Leandra in her Break Into Tax. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to speaking with you again in our next episode of Talking Legal Ed.
Talking Legal Ed is produced by David Ritchie in association with Panopticon Media. Editing by Tim Spieshock and artwork by Kaylee Jellum. Please look for all our episodes wherever you find your podcasts.